Shabbat Shalom. The other day, I observed an interview for an entry-level position. The first question to this 22-year-old recent college grad was as follows. She was asked, "What is your purpose in life? Tell us, what were you put here on this earth to do?" Silence. Whoa. Purpose of life. What 22-year-old can answer that? What 52-year-old can answer that? Could I answer that? Could you sum up your purpose in an articulate, confidence-inspiring, three-sentence response? The candidate did a pretty good job, by the way, but it got me thinking, what is our purpose? Why are we put on this earth? That's the topic of my sermon, not too lofty. Hold that thought for a moment. In the Torah portion, this week, Isaac and Rebekah are getting older and they haven't had kids yet. You know the story. So Isaac prays to God for help, and behold, Rebekah becomes pregnant. Torah says, quote, "The children pressed against each other inside of her." Maybe she was experiencing some sort of pregnancy-related pain. And then Rebekah asks this simple, timeless, profound question. She says, "Imken, lama ze anochi?" I don't exactly know what it means, but it's something like, if so, why do I exist? Or why am I? Or maybe even better, if so, why am I this? Why am I this? Why are you the way you are? If Abraham was the first Jew, I think we can agree that Rebekah was the first philosopher. Why are we the way we are? Why do we exist? What is our purpose? It's a good topic for Shabbat, where we are meant to stop doing and start reflecting. We have to be on this earth for more than materialism. Stuff is not our purpose. We have to be on this earth for more than professional advancement. Personal gains are not our purpose. We have to be on this earth for more than introspection only. Looking inward at ourselves cannot be our sole purpose. We have to be here for something greater. But for what? What do you really think is your purpose? Do you have one? Does it have anything to do with being a Jew? So Rebekah asks this question, and in the next verse, surprise, God answers her. God says, "Two people are in your belly. Two nations shall branch off from each other as they emerge from your womb. One people shall prevail over the other. The elder shall serve the younger." Okay, then. Thanks, God, for the speedy reply. Wow. Rebekah asks the existential question, and God just tells her the answer, if only. It's an enigmatic verse, so of course the rabbis discuss it in depth. One interpretation says that Rebekah was in pain because every time she walked past a synagogue, Jacob tried to run out of the womb. Every time she walked past a house of idolatry, on the other hand, Esau tried to get out. Typical. The rabbis were obsessed with competition. Competition between brothers and competition between nations. Jacob was Israel and Esau was Rome. Jacob was brains, Esau was brawn. Jacob was a pious intellectual and Esau was an idolatrous savage. And so they paint Rebekah's question in that light. Why is she having pains in her pregnancy? Because she has two nations inside of her that will battle each other. But what if we thought about her question more broadly? What if her question was not at all about her physical state, but about her spiritual one? What if Rebekah had the same very question that we do? Why do I exist? As for us, it doesn't really seem to work that way, where we ask God a question about our purpose and we get a three-sentence response. We tend to be pretty confused about why we're here. We operate at a kind of purpose deficit. There's a gap between what we have done and what we want to do. If your purpose is tikkun olam, are you ever really done? If your purpose is self-discovery, are you ever completely finished? We earn moments of contentment, of course, but are we ever fully content? Pirkei Avot says it's not for us to complete the work, but neither are we free to desist from it. We never really complete it. We never fully fulfill our purpose. Have you ever been badgered on the subway platform to shake the lulav? Yes? Or have you been given Shabbat candles or a box of matzah when you're walking down the street? Why? It's because many Jews believe that the more Jews fulfill mitzvot, the better. The closer we are to redemption. That is a purpose. But most of us here don't view the world that way. The Enlightenment helped us to reform away all the halachic framework which once was the Jewish purpose. Now we are left basically to our own devices to swim through an existential vacuum of murky morality and a fragile framework for meaning. Even before modernity, maybe even since that fall from Eden, we lost our security of clear purpose, and now it's closed to us forever. We exist in this morally ambiguous moment where what we should do is often unclear, and we don't even know what we want to do often in the first place. For us, we're better at critiquing purpose than we are at defining it. If you say your purpose is halachic, we reject it. If you say Jews have a collective purpose to be a light unto the nations and to share moral wisdom, we critique that. We say that we're being particularistic or not inclusive or superior. If you say our purpose is the fulfillment of the Zionist idea, we critique that. We point out all of Israel's flaws, or we diminish our role in that idea because we are diaspora Jews. We can tear down purpose. We're pretty good at it, but we really can't locate it. Might that be worth some reflection in these next 24 hours of Shabbat? Bereshit Rabbah teaches that even those things which you may regard as completely superfluous to the creation of the world, like fleas and gnats and flies, even they too are included in the creation of the world. And God carries out the divine purpose through every living thing, even through a snake, a scorpion, a gnat, or a frog. Even a flea has a purpose. So do we, but we're blessed with the ability to think about what that purpose is and to try and know it. There's a Yiddish proverb that says that each child carries its own blessing into the world. Something I love about how God created the universe is that that proverb is true. There is not one single purpose to life. There are many. Some are collective, some are individual, and each of us has our own specific mission to carry out, an assignment to work on. None of us can be replaced. Your contribution is unique. You're the only one who can offer it. Whatever that contribution is, I hope you cultivate it, hone it, and let it flourish. Only then will we get closer to picking up those glass shards of brokenness and reassembling them into redemption. Shabbat Shalom.